Hello, and thanks for being with us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Nitza Mazoz. Hello. And today we'd like to talk about crime. Maybe it would be better not to have crime at all, not on our show, not in life. No one wants to be a victim of crime. But still, it's a part of life, so we'll try to understand why and how to work with it in order to reach a better life. Be with us, Nitza, please. Yeah. Crime is something that was always around. And there's crime in every society. And it's true that there are societies where crime is more developed, where it's less developed. And in the past, maybe people used to think that societies that are on a lower socioeconomic level have more crime, and where the socioeconomic level is higher, there's less crime. But today we see that there's no clear rule to how it works. And also to mention that the crime itself has many different levels, many different kinds of categories and severity. But in general, we'd like to understand the phenomenon of crime itself and later on to zoom in into the mind of the criminal that wants to break the law, to understand what motivates him. So first of all, crime as a social phenomenon. How do you see it from your special point of view? It's very problematic because we can't define it. In Russian, there's this saying, show me a person and I'll pin a crime on them. Meaning, it's not a problem to prove in a very serious fashion that anyone's a criminal. So every person in potential can be a criminal because we make the laws of society, of our culture, boundaries. So, who are we? Just like I feel like doing this and that, someone else can say something else, and then it depends on who's in parliament and so on. And they decide that it's a law. So, of course, there are many people that don't want it, that they disagree. And these things are not clear. They're not accepted by all. And there are those that have an interest that push a certain law to be legislated, and there are those that don't want it. So crime is a very questionable matter, very problematic. Is it really crime or not? I legislated this law, and now whoever does not keep my law, or who breaks my law, is a criminal. Why? So, there's a problem here. What laws do we set in our country? Do these laws come from nature? That we have to keep them because we exist within the boundaries of nature? And therefore we have to keep them in order to protect nature and for nature to protect us. I'm not talking about ecology. I'm talking about all of mankind, society with the families and everything. Or do I invent certain laws because this is what I feel like doing, because I see that I can benefit as a result? Or that this way I can deal with people whom I'm discontent with, and so on. So it's a big problem to examine what crime really is. So crime is a problematic thing because legislation is something human, it's not absolute. And therefore, today I set a law that makes you a criminal, tomorrow you'll come to power and you'll set a law that will make me a criminal. Yeah. Okay, this is about crime and legislation in general. Now I want to focus on a certain person and a certain country at a certain time who decides to break the law, The law says that he's a criminal. I don't even mind what kind of crime did he commit. Another person in the same society does not break the law. I want to look at that person that broke the law, the criminal. What causes a person to break the law? Who is a person who thinks like a criminal? So what you're saying is that this person, by nature, was born with an inclination to break the laws of society. This is what you're saying? Yeah, many times we see that a person has some inner inclination to behave this way, that he breaks the law. He can't stand being in a framework. Yeah, so much so that if he sees that something limits him, regardless of what that thing is, he can't stand it. He has to destroy it. He has to be above the framework. Yeah, there are such people. I know such people. What stands in the way of that person? The framework that limits him. It is as if wants to rob him of his free choice, of the feeling of being a free man. It as if makes him feel that if you're not free, you're not a human being. I'll do what I feel like doing. So this is the natural inclination that exists in a person who's inclined to breaking the law. Yeah. And here there's a question of, is he harming society by doing whatever he does or not? This is a problem because there are many laws that are such that by breaking them, I'm not actually disturbing anyone or harming anyone, but still, I can be considered a criminal. For the sake of our discussion, I'd like to focus on those laws that by breaching them, a person does harm others. There are many laws that come to arrange our social behavior. If the three of us live in the same society, it's impossible for each of us to do what they feel like by doing so harming others. So, therefore, there are laws. Now I want to ask, according to your worldview, is it correct to say that every person is a potential criminal? Undoubtedly, everyone. Until a person completely corrects his ego, where he can entirely position himself to the benefit, to the well-being of society, which is already a degree like we never saw before anywhere in this world. So until then, he's always a kind of criminal. A criminal from birth. What do you mean? Because each of us was born with his own ego, and therefore he's a potential criminal. Not in practice, but in potential, he's a criminal. And it's good that we don't have these kinds of laws that we put in prison people that haven't yet completely corrected themselves. What is that potential to become a criminal that exists in people from birth? It's very simple. Each and every person wants to benefit himself, and besides that, maybe what makes him feel good is harming others, because he also measures himself in relation to others. So now I actually explained what a criminal is. Yeah. Someone that breaches what? I'll tell you, but it's kind of exalted. Someone that breaches, love another as yourself. This is the general law. And the crime is actually, whatever crime he commits, is breaking this law of love another as yourself. Yeah. So what is a crime? Previously, we talked about who's a criminal. So what is a crime? A crime is that someone wants to harm others. And so if he wants to his own benefit, if what he does harms someone else, if a person commits a certain crime and he hurts someone else, What satisfaction, what pleasure does he feel as a result? His ego feels fulfilled with respect, or maybe he stole something, money or some other object. He feels that he's better than others. You just mentioned two fulfillments, respect and money, and control. It's the same as respect. So a criminal gets satisfaction out of committing a crime because either he'll get money or respect or control as a result, meaning the satisfaction that comes from one of these factors. It's worthwhile, but that I harm someone else, I don't take that into consideration. Yes and no. It all depends on the level of that person's ego. Maybe he steals secretly, and then what he takes into consideration is only the money that he got. Maybe he steals, and then besides stealing, also what gives him pleasure is that he harms someone else. Maybe he's stealing only in order to harm someone. He doesn't need the money. And so on. So it's a complex calculation. Yeah. Still, the question that comes to mind is, I don't know why, but sometimes there are criminals that, and maybe it's only in the fairy tales, but they seem to be really good people, that they have a good heart. Why not? How's that possible? Why not? On the one hand, he harms people. On the other hand, he has a good heart. So how can he harm others? The next day, he can hand out everything he stole. Really? Why? Because once he received the pleasure, he enjoys stealing from someone, and he enjoys now giving the money out to other people. And there are such, like Robin Hoods. Yeah? Now I want to ask, many times we see that criminals don't work alone. They have a crew. Yeah, there are families, it's an organization, and they're very tightly connected. They feel soul devotion. They're willing to die for the friends. What's really so special about such a gang, such an organization, that for them the goal is like something holy? They feel self-pride. They feel that what they're doing is just. They have such things that they don't care about nothing but the pride. Yeah, that they're willing to die for it. We see it in different gangs and the mafia. So the way you see it, is there something special about the connection made between those people inside the gang, inside the organization, some kind of special connection? Devotion. Devotion. No one is going to sell the other out. Does it give them some special forces? Suppose I grab someone in a bank. He sells everyone out. Snitches on everyone. Yeah? In a gang. You can kill him, but he won't. These very deep relationships, do they give the members of a criminal gang some kind of special force? Of course. The feeling that there are people standing behind him, there's a feeling that there's no second to it. You feel that you're a part of a big family that's willing to kill everyone, that's willing to do anything and everything in order to get you out of anything. They collect money, they break him out of jail, they do everything. And what does that give an individual that knows that this is how he's being taken care of? It's a kind of mutual guarantee. It's a real mutual guarantee. What kind of feeling does it give to that particular criminal? That he belongs to a family, a real family. He feels warmth, closeness. He feels the connections between them. It fills him with pride. It fills his life with meaning. So this is really the reason why criminals or organizations of this kind are very hard to take apart. And even when they go to prison, it's like they don't mind. They come out, same, same. No rehabilitation will help or anything. There's this process where they're a part of this very strong force that keeps them. Next question. Women commit much less crimes than men do. It's a fact. Why so? Why are men much more criminal? Because that's how it is by character, by nature. A woman doesn't feel like breaking laws, like breaking the framework. She's only concerned with how to exist within the framework that she's given. This is the nature of women. In all times, cultures, nations, a woman is given a certain framework. She's told, this is your framework from here to here. She knows how to get along there, and that's that. Whereas a man, he can't, unless you see that he has a special kind of character, and then he gets a special kind of education, and then suppose he becomes a good beetle. But still, you can somehow believe a woman, but after all the care and everything, you can't really believe a man. It's a matter of character. A woman is more related, connected to a framework. We know that mankind came from nature. We're a part of nature. And in nature, nothing happens just so. Everything that happens probably happens for a reason. Why is there crime in mankind? Why did nature create us with this kind of potential to become criminals? Because it's our ego. Do we need it in order to evolve? Of course. In primitive societies, like it was in the beginning of mankind, you had no criminals there, because everyone lived a common life. Maybe also the women were common, and the children, and the bungalow or whatever they lived in. Everything was common, shared. And if so, what crimes can you have there? And besides, the will to receive wasn't that developed. It was primitive. So what will I steal and who will I steal from? And I'd say that even today you have it here and there, where people say, no, that's my brother, so how can it be that we'll keep secrets from each other? No, but it goes both ways. But the more we advance, the more split our society becomes, the more complex it becomes, then of course we no longer feel close to each other. And so you see, you have even brothers in the same family that fight and so on. So why does it exist? The ego grows from generation to generation. Yeah, but what is it supposed to lead us to in terms of our development? First, to feel that the ego is destroying us. Would it be true to say that the more the ego grows, the more crime there is? Of course. Meaning there is a direct correlation. If 1,000 years ago, it was enough for me to steal a few kilos of meat and something, then today it's a few millions from the bank, for sure. And also, look what the big companies do nowadays. They don't pay taxes. They do as they wish. Countries can't do anything about them. So, is that not an example? I work in some big company, a 100-story building, and from what I see, from what they're doing, no one lives off their own salary, and they pay nothing to the country. And we, the employees, are paid pennies. So, of course, we feel like taking our vengeance. So, crime is a problematic thing because legislation is problematic. I legislate a law that makes me look fine and makes you a criminal. And maybe in truth, it's the complete opposite. Now I want to ask about reforming from crime. Statistics shows that even if a person's a criminal, regardless why, and he was caught and sentenced, and he was put in prison, most chances are that at some point he'll go back to prison. Meaning that we, as a society, have a very low ability of reforming criminals. What's missing? What are we missing in the re-education of criminals? What could we add in order to be a bit more successful in this regard? We have no problem with criminals, and criminals have no problem with our society. We see criminals as a part of society, and how could it be any other way if this is how society is? If I'm forced to steal because I can't make ends meet. Look at the simple people that can't make ends meet. And there are places where the things that go on are legal. Half of the businesses and the forms of relationships in the country, more than half, are under the radar of the law. So this is our first stop as a society in dealing with crime. Yes. What has to change? Education. To teach people what? Love another as yourself. That the well-being of society, the well-being of citizens will be important to those people that serve on the police force, in the government, in the different offices, in the Supreme Court. That's what's important. But if everyone's selling and buying from each other, and the entire country is under them, and they only divide the loot, so to speak, then. So it permeates. Okay. And if we have to build a reforming plan, work plan, of how to reform society, what are the leading principles in such a plan that will really turn us from criminals and potential criminals into something that to introduce the law of connection into the country? This is what's missing. This is what's missing, and this is what can heal. What is the law of connection? That the main thing is the connection between people, between children and grown-ups, at school, at home, in society, at work, everywhere, on the roads, in everything. Only connection between everyone can save us. And the word connection, what is that? That I see the other person as someone close to me that's even more important than I am. So we're going back to the main law that we're all preaching, which is love another as yourself. Who said this law? What are you pointing at? At the sky? That means what? That this is how nature is built, all of it. All of nature is integral, and it works according to the law that there is a tight connection between all parts of reality, and unless we accept this, we won't make it. Thank you very much, Dr. Lightman. Thank you, Nitza. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.